I want to tell you a story in that I hope will help us to appreciate the scripture today and the meaning of it for us. In the year 1824, a composer named Ludwig von Beethoven composed and performed and conducted a piece called the Ninth Symphony. He had been creating symphonies. A symphony is an orchestral piece, usually in four movements. And it's a contrast of different styles and different kinds of music. Each symphony that he composed was seen as being an advancement over the one that came before it. He was an incredible musician that is considered by many, many people as the greatest composer of classical music that ever lived. In the course of his life, he became deaf. You can imagine that he was a great composer. But he was not able to hear the music that he composed on the stage. He never heard a performance of the Ninth Symphony. He was still able to compose the music without hearing it, without playing it on the piano. You can imagine what was going on inside of this incredibly creative mind of his that God had blessed him so that he could write down music to be performed without hearing it. Amazing, amazing talent that God had given to him. Well, the Ninth Symphony is considered one of the greatest works that was ever created. And there are two parts of it that really stand out. First of all, for the first time ever in a symphony, the composer included the human voice. The human voice was incorporated into the last part of the Ninth Symphony, the last movement. And so he used that, and the theme that he used for that was based on a poem by Schiller, which is To Joy. And so he chose joy as being the theme of this amazing piece that he created in 1824. I want to describe to you the other part that I believe really helps us to appreciate the scripture and what God has done for us today. In the midst of this piece, this tremendous piece, there's a sense of building. And there are many things going on in the mind of Beethoven. You can imagine he's deaf. He's gripped by this creative spirit to say something through his composition. He's working hard on it, and he's pouring himself out over it, writing down the notes and bringing everything together. And in the piece itself, there is this sense in the last movement, before the voices come in, there is this tremendous cacophony of sound, of chaos, of struggle, and of fighting, and the things really exhibiting the things that were going on in his mind that he was fighting through personally, and also a sense of being gripped with the world around him. And the things that he saw, that it was a place where there was chaos and there were things that were happening in the world that caused humankind to be against one another, hatred abounding, all of these different things. And it was incorporated into his music. And so there's just this one part at the beginning of the last movement of the Ninth Symphony that goes, and there's this powerful feeling of all of this, all these cellos playing, and you can hear all of the struggle that is going on that he's creating here. And then in one amazing moment in the history of music and of humankind, really, in this achievement, there is this pause after all of this crashing sound, and suddenly comes a melody. The cellos began it softly, and then it's taken over by the violins, and they play the same thing, and it just wells up into this beauty. And so in the midst of all of the cacophony, all of this chaos, and all of the darkness, and the fighting, and the struggle in the world, he introduces this incredibly beautiful melody that I believe was given to him by God, so that he would transform the world through his music and remind us that in life there is joy. There is joy that we want to share with our brothers and sisters in the world. That humankind is meant for greater things than violence and hatred. So this tremendous moment comes in a deaf man's composition that he can't even hear being played by the people that are there. And they're performing it for the first time. And they were all gripped, and the orchestra and the audience that heard it just shouted out in screams. And they had to turn Beethoven around to see the people standing on their feet at the end of this triumphant symphony that was played in honor of joy and to proclaim joy and to transform people's lives. And so today in this scripture in Zephaniah, we have much the same idea. It's an even greater, however, it's a much greater message for us than Beethoven could ever compose with music. Because we see in Zephaniah's time a people that are living in chaos. And the world is in great darkness. And people are hating one another, and they're worshiping idols, and they're getting all excited about false gods, and they're turning away from God Almighty. The world is in disarray, right? And God sends his messenger Zephaniah with this message that there's going to be a judgment. And so the judgment is filled with these strong words that God is pouring out against the people because of their sinfulness. And read just at the beginning of the whole book, what is the first part? I will utterly sweep away everything from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. And those are the words that Zephaniah was sent to place judgment against the people of Israel and also against mankind. But there is a remnant. There is a remnant, and there is this amidst all of these things. And if you read through all of the book of Zephaniah and you see all the things that happen like that, the first few chapters lead up to this incredible moment that we have before us today that is truly joy exhibited in God, in that in the midst of all of the sin, that our God comes and says, I am going to bless those who belong to me, those who have been faithful in the midst of all of these trials, in the midst of all of the darkness, in the midst of all of the violence in the world, that they remain faithful to me. And I am going to send a message of hope and of joy. And that is our scripture for today. And so this is a blessing for each one of us today that we are going to receive from God. That we are just going to take it in, and we're going to, just in that moment where all the things that are going on, and you can imagine all the fighting, the tornadoes, the struggle in the world, all the hatred, the racism, all of these different things, and people feeling like, is there anyone out there that can help us? Is there anyone there that can fill us with love, that can love us and teach us how to love? And God answers, yes. And now we listen to the still voice that comes, and it says, sing aloud, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, rejoice and exalt with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. Wow. He's taken away the judgments against you. He's cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, remember we're talking about being in the kingdom of God. And here it is again, the King of Israel, the Lord is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. This is the first blessing, that God is in our midst. Rejoice, shout aloud, exalt, sing, because God is in our midst and he has removed the judgment against us because of our belief in him. On that day, It shall say, be said to Jerusalem, fear not, O Zion, let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. And now here is the blessing. Here is the blessing for us today. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. And this, at this moment, everyone, this is unique. This is a moment that stops everything in time, because the God who created the universe and to whom we praise and we sing out all of our praise and we proclaim his name and we shout out and we rejoice, he turns things around. And in this amazing moment in time that has never been surpassed, he says, I will rejoice over you with gladness. Now take a moment and close your eyes and soak that in. That God today is blessing you, saying, I rejoice over your life with gladness. I rejoice over your life with gladness. Listen to the next one. He will quiet you by his love. Take a moment. God is saying, I will quiet you with my love. What is going on in your heart today that is unquiet, that is aching, that is searching, that is sad, that is disturbing your life, your spiritual life, and receive the blessing. He will quiet you with his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. Can you imagine God singing? He calls us to sing, and God now is blessing us by singing over you. Singing. What does he say when he sings? I love you. You're mine. You're my creation. You're my daughter. You're my son. I love you. I adore you. You are my beloved. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. No one could ever say from this moment on that they're not loved. No one can say that. It's a moment in time that is unsurpassed. These words break through all of the darkness and the violence and all the unrest. And God comes and rejoices over you. He quiets you. He exalts over you. Henry Nguyen is a, well, he died a number of years ago, but he has written many, many books, and they're all worth your reading. He's very approachable. He's very spiritual. He's a loving person. He's been touched in his life. He was a teacher at Yale and Harvard and other places, and renowned around the world. And God called him to give all of that up and to go and live in a community where people had different disabilities. And it was very humbling for him. He said, nobody knew who I was there. I was known around the world, but when I went to this community, there were all these people there, and they came up to me and told me when it was time to go to eat. No one knew who he was. And so it set him back. He started to feel very humbled by the whole experience. But in the midst of all of these special people, he learned many lessons about life and indeed about joy. More deeply than he had ever learned in a university being a famous professor. More than anyone, you know, would call him a spiritual leader in the world and being renowned for his books. But he wanted to be known as a member of a community of people who were not like everybody else, but they were very special. And he wrote a book called The Life of the Beloved. If you have a chance to read that, I really recommend it, or any of his books. And in that book, he was describing to a friend who was in need of spiritual teaching and sharing that the most important thing for his friend and any person on the face of the earth is to know that they are beloved. Do you know that you're a beloved person? It's hard in this life, isn't it? We're struggling. We struggle for identity. We struggle with ambition, with failure, with many different things. And God comes to us today on this day of joy. And he says, let me refresh you. Let me remind you and stop you in your life, in your tracks, and remind you that you are loved, that you are my beloved. And I am glad for you. I am glad you exist. I am going to comfort and quiet your heart and remind you that you are loved. With my love, I am going to quiet all of the things going on in your mind. And then I'm going to sing a song about you and sing over you, because you are so special. Did you ever have someone sing a song about you? Well, God is doing it. God is doing it. It's not a one-time deal. It's an everyday thing. Amen? It's an everyday thing. He's an everyday God. He's with us always. He's in our midst, and our enemies are far away from us because he is present there. So this joy breaks through into our lives through the incredible love of God. And he stops time, and this melody of his love comes through and breaks all of the hatred and all of the violence and the darkness and brings light. That's what God is about. We read on a little bit more in this beautiful, beautiful writing here from our Lord to us. I gather those who mourn for the festival. They were mourning for the festivals of the people of Israel. They had festivals that they were taken away from because they were in exile, and they're yearning for that. And God is saying, I'm going to restore that to you. And then he says this, I will deal with your oppressors. I will save the lame and gather the outcast. And I don't know about you, but I hear Jesus in that. Healing the lame. Spending time with the outcast in society when he came. Going to them and ministering to those who were hated in society and looked down upon. And so that restores our hope today. And we see Jesus Christ is coming, and he's removing the oppressors, and he's coming to tend to us. He's going to shepherd us. He's going to love us. He's going to heal our souls. He's going to repair us, restore us, make us new with his salvation. What an amazing God. He says, I will restore your fortunes, and that is what he's leading to, that he's going to restore a sense of joy in the things that are meaningful in life. And so that leads us from there to another most important moment in time, and that is Jesus coming into the world. Never been done before. Could never have been thought of by the wisest human being. But God had a plan that he was going to come into a world that was filled again with darkness and with hatred and violence, separation, people fighting, people yearning for other things, tired of being oppressed by the Romans, tired of life itself, tired of being looked down upon by people who were healthy and well and had everything in society while they had their disabilities. They were outcasts and people that couldn't walk. Jesus comes into that scene and immediately brings the light and the sweet melody of Jesus' love for all mankind. And so we're meeting with Jesus at this time, Christmas time, to be reminded of that. That we are not just simply celebrating a tradition that comes at this time of year. We are remembering joy and the melody of it that came into the world to save us from our sins and to release us from pain and to give us new life. With Jesus Christ came the cross. Never before, never since, has anyone ever shown such love on that cross to die in our place, to show us, you are beloved. You are important to me. You are special to me. Let me show you. And so he pours out himself in that way on the cross, dying a painful death because of the fact that he loves us. You are his beloved. He's raised from the dead, powerfully through the Holy Spirit, the Father taking the Son and rewarding him because he is beloved. What God said to his Son, calling down from heaven at his baptism, you are my beloved. You are my beloved Son. He takes him from death, brings him up to where he is now being glorified. And he is speaking to us now through his resurrection power, and he is coming again. Can you imagine the joy of that important moment? First time in the history of the world, and the only time that is necessary that Jesus, the risen Savior, comes into the world singing a melody of joy over us. That is the joy that we celebrate today, and that is the joy that is represented in the candle before us. And so as we come together today, we are going to rejoice. Why? Because God rejoices over us. And it just causes us to feel immensely loved and filled with joy and hope that there's no relationship that can be broken forever because Jesus can repair it. That there's no life situation that we go through that cannot be repaired because Jesus came and restored it through his life and death and resurrection. Why do we rejoice and exult with all of our heart? Because God is doing that over us. We can't help ourselves because we have such an amazing God. And that is the joy that we experience today. And that is the joy that God wants us then to go forward from this place and to sing out into the world so that others will know you are loved. You are loved, not I love you. You are loved by Almighty God. And your life has meaning. Let God come in and wash away your sins, forgive you, and set you free in joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us sing